Hi, this is Cynthia Davis. Whose job is it to make sure you are healthy? Are you panicked over not having insurance? How involved does the government get with sexually transmitted diseases? In today's edition of Homefront, we get into the real questions surrounding how and why we take care of ourselves. Welcome to Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis, your host. As a writer, speaker, and former legislator, we discuss limiting government, fiscal responsibility, and fair taxation. I'm a mother of seven and a wife of one for over three decades, so I bring you my personal experience. And now it's time for Homefront with Cynthia Davis. Today we have a very special guest, Dr. Jason Hammond. Dr. Hammond graduated from Skidmore College in Saratoga Springs, New York, with a degree in physiology and chemistry. Dr. Hammond received his chiropractic training at Logan College right here in St. Louis. Welcome, Dr. Jason.
Thank you, Cynthia, very much for having me today. I appreciate it greatly.
Great. Well, I met you when I was invited to a ribbon cutting as your state representative. I appreciate all the businesses that locate in my district. Usually I attend every ribbon cutting possible to thank them for locating in our community. And this business was very special because the people really have an interest in being part of O'Fallon and making a difference right where you are. But so many people now in the healthcare industry don't adopt your model, and they've really become very insurance-focused. People have allowed the insurance industry to dictate and micromanage every facet of healthcare. Most people no longer take responsibility for their own bodies anymore. They just figure the insurance company will tell them what to do. And that's what I find refreshing about your approach. So what made you decide to do things differently?
Quite honestly, it just came from everything you just said. I could feel just getting out of school, and I went to work in my uncle's practice in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and had I wanted to be a chiropractor since I was a very young child. So this was a natural fit for me, and I always thought that's what I wanted to do, go work with my uncle, and I just thought this is how it is, and that's it. And, you know, that would be the road to success, I guess. And then I get down there, and I started learning a lot about my own personal beliefs of how I was taking care of my health and what I was trying to do. A very sick child growing up with allergies and asthma and food sensitivities and allergies, and I had to work through those things, and I realized that there was no doctor that, you know, the doctors I was going to as a child were really good people. They cared about me greatly, but just the philosophy that they were approaching the problem with wasn't working, as evidenced by the fact that I was taking more and more medicines and shots and you name it, and I wasn't getting any better. And in fact, it's getting worse. And so here I am, fast forward to my time as a professional now in Oklahoma, and I just recalled people coming in, and they were coming in and they were not well. On a lot of levels, and they came to me for various reasons, usually at the time just for neck and back pain, and they wanted it to be fixed. Yet I found it challenging because they didn't want to, you know, put forth the effort that it was going to take to get things fixed. And on top of that, I at the time didn't have the tools or resources to communicate or teach them how to do it properly. So as I was in Tulsa honing my skills and learning about, you know, running a practice with my uncle who had many years of experience, I realized that I wanted to do something different. I had a dream and a vision of helping to teach people how to truly be well as opposed to just placate a symptom or get them well or take care of a back pain or a quick neck pain. But instead, how can I make a lasting positive effect on this person and subsequently their family and their family's family?
Because I come to this from the perspective of government, I understand that it's not the job of government to get involved in healthcare. It's the job of government to administrate justice and to pave roads and do things to punish the guilty and reward the good. But we don't need to be the be-all, end-all for everybody. And really that means that people need to learn how to do for themselves what they can do for themselves and leave for government the things that cannot be done. But the problem with those who want to grow government bigger is they can't do it unless they take over functions currently done by the private sector. One of the problems we have with good laws coming forth is that the elected officials don't have to understand economics or healthcare to get elected. So you've got a population of citizens who know how to win popularity contests trying to make decisions on how to do healthcare. And some of their decisions aren't serving us well. And as a result, we have now Obamacare, which was a plan made up of people who really don't understand how to make people healthy. They know how to put insurance mandates together because government can do that. But what difference have you seen in your practice now that we have Obamacare? How is it changing the way people make decisions and how to properly care for their bodies?
That's a great question, and the answer actually kind of segues off of what I was, you know, just discussing before I moved from Tulsa to St. Louis, is that in essence, when I made the mental shift to help to make empower people to be more in control of their health, then I had to simultaneously make a stance that, with that being said, we have to recognize that your insurance carrier is not responsible for your health. You are. And ultimately, you know, getting or a patient wanting only what their insurance will cover really is not good health care. I mean, you wouldn't walk into a medical doctor's office and he's got, you know, your cardiologist said, hey, listen, you got four blocked arteries. Insurance is only going to pay for two. You're not going to negotiate with that guy and say, hey, listen, I only want two of them done. No, you need all four done. Now, with that being said, and you ask about the changes in the climate and healthcare, I can tell you right now, over the last decade of doing this professionally, I've seen insurance reimbursements continue to decline, and patients are becoming more and more acutely aware this is happening. The ones that are conscious, they know. And my contention is the ones that even act surprised still know that their insurance is not going to cover it. What I'm seeing presently, now, with that being said, we're not a very heavily based insurance type of practice for those reasons. And I have medical and dental friends that are doing the same exact thing, is that we recognize that this is not, it's not a win for the patient. You have to stop being a doctor. You have to stop being truthful, and you have to start, you know, giving, you know, care that's not, you know, you're congruent with. Now, with respect to Obamacare, I've just seen more than anything, I haven't really seen the ramifications, quite honestly and openly and transparently to you right now. I have not seen the major implications as of yet in my office, me personally. But I have seen some of the fear that's already stricken in some patients, where I've had patients want to, already having limited insurance benefits, already at this point, even before the you know, action or actuality of Obamacare and whatever that means, these people are already starting to get paralyzed. They're not taking action. They're waiting to see how bad or how good it is before they take action. And I again contend it's a scary place to be. You know, it's like paralysis by analysis. They're waiting for the shoe to drop, yet same token, many of these people are still getting sicker by the day. And I think that's a dangerous proposition.
Our show is called Homefront because we talk about family issues and how public policy affects the family. When I was in the Missouri House of Representatives, I was the vice chairman of the Healthcare Policy Committee. As I already told you, you don't have to know a lot about healthcare to chair a powerful committee that could affect everybody's lives.
Interesting.
But one of the strangest bills we passed, and I say we, it didn't pass with my support. It passed despite my strong and severe opposition. But one of the bills that emerged that really upset me terribly, we'll call it the doggy bag bill, because in St. Louis, there's a problem with an escalation of sexually transmitted diseases. What's amazing is the most anti-family behavior anybody can exhibit is not staying in a monogamous marriage, not waiting till they get married, and not staying faithful. There are a lot of people who've chosen a lifestyle that's not healthy, And then government has tried to get in there and address the problem, which only can make it worse. So what would you say? Okay, we've got this situation where we already have free clinics that tell people if they have sexually transmitted diseases and give out free antibiotics to treat their problems. And then they found that the doctors would see the exact same clients come back over and over again with the same diseases. So one day they figured out this is not working. People are, even though we're trying to mitigate the symptoms of their poor lifestyle choices, they're still getting the same diseases months later, sometimes weeks later, they come down with the same thing. So the answer was, let's give them a doggy bag with free antibiotics for the person who's infecting them, who's nameless, faceless, anonymous. And by the way, these are antibiotics which you're not supposed to be able to get over the counter. You can only get them with a doctor saying, yes, you need them.
Right.
So, of course, I thought that bill was not going to serve us well and not really address the problem, because if your lifestyle is causing you to get diseases
right.
that can be fixed with a pill, there'll be a day when you get a disease that cannot be fixed with
Dr.
a pill.
Right.
So what have you seen in the pharmaceutical model that has caused us problems with the way people consume health care?
Well, that's a great question. There's a wonderful book by a PhD by the name of Dr. Gary Null, and the title of the book is called Death by Medicine. And in the book, he statistically, and everything that he says is backed by research, demonstrates that our healthcare system in and of itself is the leading cause of death in our culture. Not cancer, not heart disease, but literally our healthcare system. And again, I say that with knowing, 100% knowing, that I don't believe that any doctor of any type doesn't have great intentions for their patient that's in front of them. I don't believe that. And maybe an optimist, but I believe that every doctor, you take an oath, you work your tail off to get to the place where you are, where you can help people in your community. I don't think they have ill will. What I do believe, though, is, like I said earlier, the philosophy of how we take care of ourselves is gone awry. And I can't quote exactly from Dr. Null's book, but he can pinpoint a time frame in which that went from, when medicine itself went from really emergency care, like traumatic care, and the occasional use of an antibiotic or an aspirin, to this rampant use. And he points to the influence of pharmaceutical companies and their relationship with the FDA. And he, again, documents that throughout the course of his book, demonstrating that there is a relationship that's going on. And here the FDA is now having, you know, a shakedown process for people taking natural supplements. Even in our office, actually, there was a supplement that is no longer was being allowed to be sold. I just brought to my attention by my staff because it has too high a level of a certain vitamin that now they're going to consider that, you know, a prescribed drug. And I'm thinking, wow, that's something. But yet, something like a Vioxx, which they knew in clinical trials had the opportunity to hurt people, they pushed it through. But you're asking, you know, what have I seen and how do I feel about the doggy bag type of philosophy? And it's corrupt. It's not going to work. It's a bankrupt. It's bankrupt clinically. It's bankrupt congruently, philosophically. It doesn't work. And people will continue to cover up and mask the underlying problem until they're ready to actually look at the underlying problem. And I trust me, as someone who really cares about people, I have wanted to figure out ways to get everyone to look inside themselves and everyone to care. But Mrs. Davis, the truth that I see it is that there's a moment, and you hope that you can be in front of that person when that moment happens, or there's a moment when someone's either ready to make a change or they're not. I can't control when that is. Neither can government. And neither can give me a doggy bag of antibiotics. Which again, in and of itself, we can talk clinically on that, is that if it was a virus and you're giving someone antibiotics, you did nothing for it. And only strengthen the opportunity for superbugs to develop by our over-prescription of antibiotics in our culture, which again is now going to cause a bigger problem down the road. So again, it's a philosophical and it's a clinical issue, or a scientific issue, which I think they're both bankrupt. They don't make sense.
We just gave the doctors immunity from any liability if they want to write a prescription to somebody they've never seen and don't even know who it's going to.
Yeah.
So,
from my knowledge and in doing some research on other types of government/healthcare involvement, and I'm not going to speak 100% accurate on this, but I know that there has been involvement with even vaccine use and the damages of certain vaccines, and when there was a shortage, a perceived shortage of a vaccine, that certain pharmaceutical companies were given, hey, a pass, because they were approached and saying, hey, by the government saying, we need this vaccine, we need this done. And they say, hey, listen, we don't have the time to run the exact clinical trials. So if something bad happens with this batch, we want, complete, freedom. We don't want to be able to get taken into court or whatnot by any injuries that are sustained, and the agreements were made. And so, that is documented. Now, again, I can't speak to the exact documentation or the exact, laws or mandates or conversation, but I have seen it. I have seen it in literature, but also in some evidence-based documentaries, too.
Now, we can't let you get too far without finding out what that over-the-counter supplement is that people can't buy anymore.
You know what? I can't even speak to that. It just came up. It was a we work with a certain company that has the vitamins and the nutrients that we use, the supplementation we use, is what they call pharmaceutical grade, which means it's the highest purity, the highest standards that are available in the natural food industry. And it was just brought to my attention. I don't know if it was a vitamin. I can't even speak, because I don't want to let your listeners mm-hmm. know what that was and be incorrect. But I just remembered that my office manager told me this week that that they just had to stop selling a certain one, that the company that we use was no longer allowed to sell it, because the goal is this natural supplement is supposed to be now being positioned to now be prescribed, which I found kind of ironic.
Yes, because they don't want people to fix themselves. They want to have it be within the pharmaceutical
line. Oh, absolutely.
Hi, friends. Do you like what you're hearing? Then go to my website. It's CynthiaDavis.net, and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get all this information and more when you sign up for my email reminding you of when you'll hear another podcast and letting you know what's coming up next. Besides, we always have a little bit of humor at the end, so go to CynthiaDavis.net and stay in the loop. For those of you who don't like email, go to my Facebook page. It's called Homefront with Cynthia Davis. And make sure you click the like button. That way, you'll have a convenient way to see what we're doing and to get the word when another podcast is released. That's Homefront with Cynthia Davis on Facebook. My website is CynthiaDavis.net. That's where we keep all our good stuff. So if you want to get our newsletter and find more podcasts, go to CynthiaDavis.net. Hey, let's stay in touch. How did you end up going from New York to studying at Logan Chiropractic in St. Louis? I mean, are there not chiropractic educational institutions in New York?
Yes, there are. There are. At the time, as I mentioned, my uncle was a chiropractor and one of my biggest role models growing up. And so he attended Logan, and he was actually very involved as an alumni with the board of directors at Logan at the time. And so I just automatically assumed that was the path that I should be taking. I didn't even look at any other schools at the time. I did, however, my father became ill with cancer while I was at Logan and subsequently passed, and I was making frequent trips from St. Louis back to New York. At that time, I did look at possibly transferring, but, my dad pretty much was an amazing man and just sat me down and just said, this is my battle. I got this. You stay on your course. This is what your dream was. You just go for it. So it was that inspired me and gave me strength to stay in St. Louis.
Neat. We appreciate that because...
Well, thank you.
We're glad to have you in O'Fallon. You've done a lot of very helpful things for the community. If nothing else, you've even raised the awareness by the name of your organization, the Wellness Connection.
Yeah.
Who can't be excited about wellness? It's just so different from other places that focus on pathology.
Well, even still, behind that is even the bigger, we believe here that the bigger word in that is actually connection. Our contention, Cynthia, and you know this from being in the office, is we feel that the biggest missing vitamin out there is vitamin C, and not from vitamin C like oranges, but vitamin C like connection, like really connecting to people. There's just a lack of it, and I'll say this is into a room full of patients, or if I walk on the reception area and I see people looking down at their cell phones and they're texting a friend halfway across the world, but yet they can't speak to their fellow, you know, their fellow community member who's two chairs down from them. And in a lighthearted way, and people know my personality, I'll bring light to it and brevity to it, and I'll make them introduce themselves to each other because it's that connection that's so vitally important. And on a social level, there's a connection. On a spiritual level, there's a connection. But moreover, too, there's this misnomer that people can't connect to a better version of themselves, which I find is the biggest lie that people have bought into, is that they can't become something bigger and better than that they are right now. They can't connect to that. They don't have enough drugs, or they have too many organs in their body to actually be as healthy as they could be. And when everything they need is right there, they just got to work on connecting to their optimal person, their optimal health, and they have to find out what it would take to do that. And this is why no one is coming to save you. Your government's not coming to save you. You've got to take up your own action. You have to figure out what it is that I do and I don't know about how to get healthy, and I'm going to find the people that I need to teach me. And I'm going to continue to learn over and over and over again. I'm going to continue to invest in myself and invest in my health. You know, as I shared just briefly, I lost my father, and my dad was an amazing man and very pivotal in a lot of things that I'm doing today. And the reason being is my dad was a great man and taught us how to be good sons and brothers, and taught me how to be a good husband and a good dad. But he didn't dedicate a lot of time to his health. And so I had a front row seat for 20-some-odd years of my dad making not-so-great choices. And although he was a good man and loved his family, loved his wife, and he worked hard, and, you know, he went to church and all that stuff, he died, and he's not here. And he can't see the fruits of his labor now because he didn't take responsibility and he didn't step up. He took responsibility for his family, and I give him a ton of credit for that, and he raised a great family. But he didn't take a moment and realize if he didn't take care of himself, he wasn't going to be around to see that family. And that's a message I share within our practice openly and transparently, that if you don't dedicate time to taking control of your own health today, then you have no idea what your tomorrow is going to look like.
People in America are dying quicker of diseases that are preventable.
Yeah, absolutely. Geneticists are now showing us that it's less than 5 and maybe up to 10% that are only the diseases are actually genetic in nature, meaning 80 to 90% of all the diseases we're presently facing in our culture right now are due to a lifestyle choice. It doesn't negate that I have a cancer gene in my body because my dad had cancer. But there's not one shred of scientific evidence, not one, that demonstrates that just because I may have that same gene as my dad, that I am guaranteed to develop cancer. What we do know from latest genetic research is that my lifestyle choices will either influence the different turning on and turning off, if you will, of the different protein molecules that will literally lead to different gene mutations. So it's really what we do with our genes that actually will dictate the likelihood of us developing cancers. Not so much, hey, great, early detection. I'm all for early detection, but wouldn't it be better if we just actually lived a life that didn't allow us to decrease the likelihood of us developing a disease? And then early detection is just like teeth cleaning. Okay, go in, check it, we're good. Because I know I'm on the path of living a healthy lifestyle, so my likelihood of getting that disease just went down dramatically.
If you were going to give advice to our listeners on what is the greatest thing they can do to help themselves be healthy, what would it be?
You first have got to be conscious and be humble that you don't know everything. That's the first thing. I tell people, I believe, after doing this for over a decade, I don't believe anyone comes in and wants to develop heart disease or cancer. I don't think that. I just don't. But I believe that there's roadblocks. There's blind spots. There's things that people just don't know that they just don't know. And they've got to continue to be on a path where they literally will continue to go down that path where they'll learn more and more about what's keeping them from being healthy, and then what can they do to take an action step towards health and away from sickness and disease. That's the first thing. You have to be conscious that nobody and no thing is coming to save you for this. You have to be able to recognize where you are, where you feel your goals are, and ask yourself honestly, are my present actions getting me closer to that goal? I make a decision, Cynthia, with one really strong question is, do my actions today get me closer to playing with my grandkids? My oldest child is 8, my youngest is 2, and I'm thinking about my grandkids right now because my dad didn't ask that question. People have to start first becoming conscious of where they are and being humble enough to know they just don't know the answers. But also, the last thing, the third thing, is recognize what you already know, and that's this. I'm going to ask you a question, Cynthia. If you walked into my house and you walked into my bathroom and you opened up my bathroom counter and you saw a whole cabinet filled of those little orange pill bottles, would you assume, without ever meeting me or seeing me, would you assume I'm healthy or sick?
Sick.
Yeah, and so that's just it. People know this. Yet we get in this point where we're almost like in a trance where we go in, I got a heart problem, I'm going to go into my doc who's got all the best intentions in the world, but his or her one modality to help you is, all right, here's a pill. This will lower your heart problem number so on paper you're healthy. And they get one bottle, and then they have something else from a side effect, and they go in, and before they know it, they've accumulated all these bottles. Yet they say they want to be healthier. Again, the first thing is being conscious to where you really are and the actions you're taking. The second is being humble enough to know that you just don't know everything. And there might be something new out there, new for you, but it's been around for hundreds of years, like eating clean, chiropractic, massage, acupuncture, exercise, that you haven't done, that you know could get you better. And the last is be conscious to, or know that you already know half the battle. And half the battle is this. The more drugs you're on, and the more medications you're on, and the more surgeries you have, inevitably it's not moving you closer to health and well-being, it's moving you farther from it.
That's good. So if you were going to get one chance to talk to all the legislators in America, what advice would you give them?
Wow. What advice would I give them? Goodness.
As they're considering public policy that will affect everybody living in the United States. I mean, what just happened with Obamacare is we have a man in the White House and a Congress that said we're going to force everybody by our dictum to buy into the insurance model or pay a penalty if they don't. And so,
I'll tell you this. If I had the opportunity, it would have to be, it couldn't just be me talking. I would come loaded. And what I mean by that is I would gather maybe 5 to 10 of the greatest minds in our culture right now that understand everything that we've just talked about of all types of professions. I would have medical doctors and PhDs and some of the leading manual therapists in the world and exercise physiologists, and I would literally create a forum. And I'd have every one of them go up. And I would even have an economist come up there and demonstrate how by people buying into their own health would actually improve the overall fiscal health of that household, but also potentially the workforce they're about to be in or already in. And then I would leave it to the point where, Lily, it's so obvious that the present system is failing that if they made that decision that to vote against that type of a policy of people learning how to and having tools to implement themselves to get healthier on their own without forcing things or drugs or things on people, then one, my conscience is clear that I did the best I could, and two is you recognize the people that are still voting have an agenda other than, you know, helping someone really get well and take control of their own life.
Right.
And I can't control that.
No, that's excellent, frankly. That's a dose of medicine that everybody needs in office. The people who are currently in office, they need to hear our voice. They need to know what's important to us, and they need to get to the solution instead of trying to placate the lobbyists for the insurance companies and the lobbyists for the pharmaceutical companies. And I'm not poo-pooing lobbyists. They gave me a lot of fun while I was there. How else are you going to get tickets to the Rams game?
Yeah.
How else are you going to get go out to dinner every night? But we have to be intelligent about what we're doing and not be bought to the point where we're going to sell away the soul of America and the health of America based on who comes forth with the greatest campaign donations. So thank you for joining us. You have been very insightful. Will you be on our show again sometime?
I would love to, and thank you for having me. I hope that your listeners enjoyed some of the things I was able to share and some of my insights over the last several years, or decade, I should say, of practice. But thank you very much for having me on. I was very humbled and very flattered that you asked me. Thank you.
It's going to be good. We're going to move toward a healthier year. My hope is that this show will inspire and encourage others to do something about their own health care and to be brave and bold and stand up there and say, no, it's me. It's my body. It's my job.
It is. It's you know, and just in closing, when patients come in and they ask me, well, Dr. J, how am I supposed to get my entire family to start doing this stuff? Or how am I supposed to get my mom and my dad to do this? I tell them all the time. And I speak from my own experience. And that was when I first started learning this and I became so excited about how to help people really take control of their health. And I'd go back to New York and talk to my uncles and my cousins, and I would be like waving this big flag trying to save the entire family. And then I realized that that doesn't work because people got they started getting, you know, threatened, and they would repel as opposed to come closer to the message. And then what I realized, and what I would tell you and all of your listeners, is you first have to own this yourself. You know, we talk about a culture and a country changing, but until we each individually have ownership of these principles, then it won't work. You can't force these things on your friends or your family or whatnot until you truly own them. When you have ownership of them and you start getting better and healthier and not as sick and not as using as many prescription meds, I promise you, your family and friends will start asking the question, how do you do it? And that's the teachable moment I referred to earlier on about the doggy bag moment, is when someone asks you that they're ready for change, then they're ready for change.
And if people want to learn more, do you want them to go to your website?
Sure, it'd be great.
And what website do you want us
it's
to go to?
It's www.connectwithwellness.com. That's all one word.
Connectwithwellness.com. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
People are equally inspired by your message. You have a great day, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you very much. God bless. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
I know.
This has been another edition of Homefront on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I'm Cynthia Davis and hope you enjoyed our program. Please join us next week when we offer another infusion of truth, honesty, and solutions that will grow people bigger and shrink government smaller. Thank you for joining us. See you next week.